So if you want to grab your Bibles and go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it's the book that comes, if you grab Psalms in your Bible and just keep on moving forward, you'll find Proverbs and then Ecclesiastes. It's a wisdom literature, written or arranged, most likely through Solomon or arranged for him. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3. So like I said, it's actually a famous passage. If you listen to music, it's that song, to every season, turn, there is a reason, turn. But so far, just to fill you in the gaps, we've been looking at the book of Ecclesiastes. And so far, as we've been looking at that, these passages, chapters 1 and 2, we've seen what life is like under the sun. So we've looked at that sort of frustration that we have in life in a broken world. And we've considered then in chapter 2, when we looked at a few weeks back, of whether the pursuit of pleasure and success and wealth would actually satisfy us. And the preacher Solomon, as he pursued all these great things, some things were not that great, but some things were great ventures as such. He concluded that all was vanity, all his work and all his pleasure and everything. It was like chasing the wind. Just as we feel that we grab something that we think brings happiness, it disappears like vapour. It's like grabbing the wind in our hands, only to realise it just keeps on going. And so because of all this this sort of world that we live in, this brokenness, this frustration, we live a life that is often full of worry and stress and anxiety. Life under the sun is not easy. And so as we looked at in these passages, we saw our only hope is to look beyond the sun to Jesus the Son, which is the one who brings us eternal life. So we looked at that in also John as we read it this morning. But let's hear Ecclesiastes 3 as the preacher continues to do his quest for life, search for meaning as he looks at life. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything there is a season and a time, for a matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker for his toil? I have seen the busyness that God has given to children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been, that which is to be already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away. Now let's pray as these words sink into our hearts. Father, we know these words are written thousands of years ago, but Lord, help us to see the relevance for them today as we sit ourselves under the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Lord, we pray this through you, Lord Jesus, and pray that your Spirit will help us this time. Amen. What's the time, Mr. Wolf, is actually a little game that our kids were playing the other day as I was sitting there writing my sermon. And it's that, you know, that game where you know, 6, 7, and you walk, and then the idea is at the end there's dinner time. Not that it has anything to do with my sermon today, but I wonder for you if you can tell me what time it is. What time is it right now? Well, I guess when you think about it, like you're probably looking at your clock thinking it's whatever, 11 o'clock. Well, I guess the time depends on where you are. In the UK, it's about 2 a.m. in the morning. In China, I believe, I'm sure Tina will correct me, it's 9 a.m. in the morning, which is the same as Perth. And in New York, it's 9 p.m. yesterday at night, Saturday night. So what time it is depends on your location. And the same is for the seasons. Where you are now is winter. If you're in the northern parts of our world, it's summer. The season depends on where you are. According to Ecclesiastes 3, there are seasons and times for everything under heaven. Not just the calendar months or the seasons, but all of life. Birth to death and everything in between. And I wonder for you what season your life is in right now, what time your life is at right now. You see, Solomon unearths this reality of life, that we are people in time and space. We are people in seasons of life. And we live in a world that has seasons and times where things change. And if we look in this passage, we actually notice that our view has changed. Because before, when we looked at chapters 1 and 2, it said, under the sun. And now, God's word chose a different view. It says, under heaven. Notice that in verse 1. Verse 1, it says, it refers to every matter under heaven. There's been a change of view. We're looking from a different position. It'd be like if you looked at our world from all the times and seasons. If you're above all that, you would see everything. But right now we see winter. And so the view has changed. It's no longer life just under the sun, but life under heaven, under God's throne. And the good news is that God knows the time. And his timing is right and it's ordered. And in fact, nothing happens outside of God's control or his will. It's interesting in life because timing is everything. Time is something that we lose. We never get it back. We could spend all the time in the world and we're unable to ever buy it back. Every minute is gone like vapor. Even now, as you're listening, those minutes are going. There are kinds of timings in life and seasons in life that we're able to manage, you know, like the planting and the plucking of a plant. We can do that because we know the seasons that God has ordered. But there are many other things in life that are completely out of our control. We have no control over when we are born, where we are born, and when we die, and where we die. And that in our life there seems to be never enough time. Death steals it from us. So verses 2 to 8 go through for us some general times and seasons of our lives, of the world we live in. The preacher isn't trying to give us his large list, but he's just trying to give us some general, real seasons and times of life. But what he's trying to reveal to us is that in his word is that it's all under heaven. It's all under God's authority and God's rule. There are seasons and times in our lives, but each of them is under God's care, under God's rule. For each of these things, there has a beginning and an end. But behind them all, whether their various beginnings and ends, is God. And in fact, God is involved in the whole process from the beginning and end and everything in between. All has come through God. So the writer, Solomon, is celebrating this ordered life that he sees. He's celebrating who God is. That God's divine authority controls both ends of the spectrum, both life and death. And God is there from our very first breath to our final breath. And he's involved in everything of our existence and how it's ordered. From the weeping to the laughing, from the birth to our natural physical birth to our emotions to when we weep or laugh, God is there. So don't ever think that God is distant when things happen in our life. In John 11:35, Jesus wept at the death of Lazarus. Our God weeps when we weep and laughs when we laugh. He's not distant or uninvolved, but personally involved. And that means that everything about our life matters, Because God is involved with every little moment of our life, of our time. And there's an ordered way God works. These are his divine actions, and they're all in God's timing. Before they become human activities, God is above it all and in control of it all. And for us, it's very hard to understand that because we have limitations to comprehend how God rules and reigns in our world. Verse 11 describes it as a mystery that we wrestle with. Verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he's put eternity in man's heart, yet so that we cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. There's a frustration in that. So the preacher acknowledges that we have limitations in our frustrations between who God is. But we can rest assured that even in that, that God does everything at the right time. Even when we fail to understand it, and even though we cannot know and see what God knows, we know it's his timing, not our timing. So we have to sit back and go, this is God's timing. This is God's timing. And so we wrestle with this, as verse 11 describes. Think about the day you were born, how it happened. It involved human activity. But it was all God's timing and working through that human activity. Your death will be by God's timing. Yet it involves you making wise and unwise decisions throughout your life. Job 14:5, our days are determined by God. Birth, death, life is all under his care. Now, it might make us think like we're puppets, but we're not. We have a God who completely controls us, and yet within this, we aren't completely free. So there's this sort of the tension that we have to wrestle with for who we are as people. But here, God wants us to know our place in the world. In his world, how he's made it. Even within its brokenness, there's still seasons and patterns that God has made. And these are truths we need to accept. Everything matters to our God. And if that's the case, then we need to make the most of our time on earth. If every moment matters, we need to make the most of it. Our time is precious. You will never get it back. And so make sure your life is pursuing the right things, things that matter to God. God has created our world with times and seasons so we can enjoy them and be blessed with them. Things that keep us busy, those things that we do, the pursuit of work is a good thing. And we can enjoy the blessings from that. And we can add value to others, our lives and those around us through good endeavours. And we can reap a harvest at the end to enjoy the results of our labour. Solomon's saying this is all good stuff. There is a time to plant and a time to pluck. But there are so many other things that we have no control of. We can prevent, we can't prevent the times or seasons that come. Just as spring brings life and winter, often we get a bit sick. There are seasons in our lives that we cannot do anything about: happiness, sadness, health, sickness, death. These are the realities of the seasons and times that come under God. And so we need to understand the seasons for our life. The reality is we get frustrated, don't we? Because what we want to do is we want to control our lives. And what we want are great seasons all the time. But your life right now is in a season, and God knows the exact season it is, and he's brought you into it. It could be happy, it could be sad, it could be blessing, it could be hardship. But the reality is, that's God's season for you. And you need to face those realities now, as this passage says. These are the realities of life that we need to prepare ourselves so we can live wisely in them. And we need to accept our limitations in them. Because what it does, it draws us to trust in God. It draws us to trust in God, whether we're laughing or crying, whether we're healthy or sick. It draws us to trust in God. And in all this, we can see also God's goodness, the beauty of life. As we read in verse 11, there's a goodness in what we do. We can appreciate the order of creation, and we can wisely live under heaven and be blessed through that. Like times of good food and fun, family fun, these are good things worthy to be celebrated of. These are the goodness of God. God has ordered it that way. And God has made these things beautiful. but they're only for a time, only for a season. This is the limitations we work with. Look at a plant, it grows, it blossoms, it produces fruit, it's beautiful, and then it withers and dies. There's a beauty, but it's only for a time and a season. And us as people are faced with that brutal reality of life under heaven. That there are times that we love life and enjoy things, but those things will not last. They're only for a season. And so within this beauty, we are frustrated by the times and seasons because they do not last when things go well. And we may enjoy those blessings for a little while, but we'll be restless and frustrated, only to find the same vanity and frustration we see right through this book. So the best thing we can do that Solomon gives us is to appreciate the season and rejoice in it. Work wisely and hard and enjoy what you produce, because it's going to be gone and you're not going to be able to take it with you. You know, the other day at work, Owen, my boss, he cooked up some great eye fillet steaks, and that was a reward for our efforts for a good month. They were absolutely delicious. They are the best steaks, and everyone at work would say they are the best steaks in Swan Hill. And the taste was exceptional in my mouth. It was exceptional. We actually had a little bit the next day, and you just, when you had that little tiny bit the next day, went, that was exactly what I had the day before, and it was really good. But I don't taste it anymore. The taste's gone. It's but a memory. I can't even get in and get that experience back. And that's exactly what Ecclesiastes tells us. Ecclesiastes 3, 12 to 13, I perceive that there is nothing better than to be joyful and do good as long as they live. That's for people. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in his toil. This is a gift. This is God's gift to man. You know, this is the best we can do for what we have. We can rejoice and enjoy God's blessing. There are seasons to enjoy and there are seasons that are hard. And as we experience these, we look up to heaven and we see behind all these seasons our God. And we are thankful and we appreciate those gifts. Verse 11 reads once again, he's made everything beautiful in its time. Let's say that in verse 11. Yep, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he's put eternity in our hearts. Yet, so we cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. You know, so as we enjoy these seasons on earth, we still long for something that's lasting. We want the steak that continually tastes good in our mouth. So we can enjoy life, and deep down we're not satisfied with this pursuit of things that just keep on disappearing. And so within our lives, God has put eternity in our hearts because he wants us not to be satisfied with these things. He wants us to enjoy them, but they will not bring us ultimate satisfaction. He wants us to be drawn to him. He's put eternity in our hearts. Verse 14 to 15, I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which has already been, that which is to be, already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away. You know, what we toil and do is just for the here and now, but what God does has eternity in mind. It transcends outside of time, out of space, out of seasons. And it's outside and beyond us. And so within that, it causes us to fear him because we realize we are not God. And we cannot control our lives. We cannot control what's going to happen tomorrow. We are people with limitations in space and time in a broken world. And so within that, we have a fear, but we realize that there is a God. And so it causes us to draw near to our God. As we see, God is the only one who can deal with these matters that are beyond our understanding. You know, things driven away are things that we cannot grasp. There are just certain things that we cannot grasp in life that we have to put in God's care and trust him. I remember a story of a lady who had booked her husband a birthday present. And she was a Christian lady, and I think, I don't know if her husband was a pastor, but he booked a birthday present, and it was with his mates, and it was with a air balloon adventure, and that air balloon didn't make it. It blew up and her husband and all his best mates died. And as she wrestled with that, as she realized she had booked the ticket for that. She had given him the price. She had sentenced his death, so she thought. She saw beyond that a God in heaven who was in control of all things. She said if she didn't have that God in heaven who was in control of all things, she would be out of her mind because she has killed her husband. And so we have a God behind all things. And so when we wrestle with that, when we wrestle with this brokenness and this frustration of life, if we look beyond that and see a God in heaven who looks down and sees all things and has a plan and is working all things, then although we can't understand all these things, we can trust him. We can realize that he is behind all things. But we also realize that as we have this eternity in us, in our hearts, that we are made for more. Death steals what we really want. We want to live. We don't want to die. And so we realize as we chase these things in our world, it will not give us what we want. Eternity is in our hearts. We were made for something better. Verses 16 to 22. Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness, and in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time for every matter and for every work. And I said in my heart, with regard to the children of man, that God is testing them, that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beasts is the same. As one dies, so another dies. Then they all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beast, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and dust all return. Who knows whether the spirit of man goes upward, and the spirit of the beast goes down into the earth? So I saw that there is nothing better than man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? So we have this, lots of different things in there, but we have this reality of life that we are dust. And what happens to the animals happens to us in the sense that we die. And yet the preacher tells us also in verse 17 that judgment awaits. Because unlike the animals who are not eternal, we are eternal. And so we are in God's image, we will be judged. And so as we look at our life, we often left empty and frustrated. Yet we have in ourselves the desire for more in our hearts because God has made us this way. We have limitations. We are dust. We get tired. We die easily. We are not God, and we are creatures made by him for all eternity. So we end at dust, but we are unable to see what happens after our death. We do not know what's going to happen in the sense of we cannot look back and see what our life is going to be like, what the people around us, what our ventures are going to be like. All awaits us is God's judgment. So how do we respond to this? Ecclesiastes gives us a complete picture of life under the sun. Through this we know who God is. We know our place under his divine authority. Rather than try to work out what God is going to do next, we can choose to live wisely and accept that we are dust, that we have limitations, that our lives are actually ultimately dependent on the God who created us. He is the one who sustains all of life, and he knows the seasons and times. We don't know them in the general scheme. We know when to plant, when to reap, but most of life is out of our hands. When we think of this book, it was written to God's people when they were under the covenant and the law that God gave them through Moses. And that was a season and time in God's redemptive plan. Today we are in the time and season of the gospel. Mark 1:15, Jesus told us what the exact time is. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So according to Jesus, according to God, now is the season for us to repent and believe in Jesus. There is a season for us to seek God and be redeemed. There is a season and a time of judgment to come. But now is the time for forgiveness. Reality is Jesus knows our world is running out of time. You and I are running out of time. We are born and we will die. These are the true realities of life. We cannot escape them. And your time is being wasted away and you will never get it back. Jesus knows what exact time it is for God's plan of redemption and your life under heaven. Do you actually believe this? Do you actually trust Jesus in this? Because when the time of repentance and trusting in Jesus is gone, only judgment awaits. The season of grace and mercy has passed. If we die and fail to recognize now the season to repent, we miss the time and season that God has appointed. It really doesn't matter what we think and what we say. If we say, well, it doesn't really matter what God says, or it doesn't matter what I say from his word, I'll get to heaven and I'll tell God what I want to tell him. It's not going to work. God's season has ended. His season of grace has ended. If you miss the opportunity to go and pick fresh fruit when it's on the tree, that opportunity goes. All you're left with is rotten fruit. The time and season has passed. It's too late. Just as that is with a natural world, so it is with God's spiritual world. The same God who made all these seasons and places in our world has set a place in his time and season under heaven that he will judge people. But now the time is a time of redemption. When that's gone, it's gone. The question is how you're responding to Jesus in your life. While there's time to repent and believe in him, time to follow him, take him seriously. Think about there was a time for Jesus to be born and a time for him to die on a cross. God's timing is perfect, even within our brokenness. Galatians 4:4, at the right time Jesus came. God's timing is spot on. At the right time God revealed himself to us, to all people. There is a time to kill and a time to heal. On the cross, in God's time, Jesus was killed so that we, right now, can be healed. Right now, not just a physical healing, but a spiritual healing, back to being restored back to God. As our shame and sin is dealt with by Jesus on the cross. Can we see this? Can we see this? Jesus is Lord over all things, over our world in this big redemptive picture, but also in your little everyday moments of life. He is there. He's making things happen. Three things that we can apply from Ecclesiastes. The way we spend our time is connected to the way we live. We invest our time in what we believe brings the best meaning and purpose for us. And as we've seen so far in Ecclesiastes 1 and 2, that everything we pursue under the sun makes very little difference to our world. So we need to change our worldview. We need to change our position and look at life under heaven, under Jesus as Lord. Like I said to those girls at the car park who were trying to do the humanitarian aid, I said to them, what you offer is good. It puts food in kids' mouths. But what I talk about is something goes beyond the grave. It's what Jesus offers is eternal. That is what matters. What you're doing is great, but it's not enough. So we need to look at our lives and see what we're doing and how it's connected to Jesus as Lord. Ecclesiastes teaches us to make wisely choices in the time we have, investing our time into things that really do matter, making the best opportunity to enjoy the seasons, to mourn in the seasons, but to know that there is a better season to come, a better season for God's plan where death is no more, everything is beautiful for all eternity, and there is no more restlessness. So we can know there is a season to end all seasons, and it's in Christ when it happens. You know, Paul's words in Ephesians 5:16, Paul speaking God's word says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. These are the last days. I'm not trying to bring some sort of weird prophecy that, you know, it's going to be some sort of date, but I'm saying these are the last days. This is what Jesus said. Could be 100 years, but it's the last days. The second thing we can do is trust God with our time. Trust your life, your days, your years with God. And never think that Jesus has got his timing wrong. Accept that your view has limitations, but Jesus' view in heaven is fine. And sometimes it's hard to wrestle with that. But we need to accept that we are not God and that we cannot control our lives. Or can we control the people around us? But God is the one who is in control. And so how we respond to God, we use our time wisely and we trust God in our time. Psalm 31, 14 to 15. But I trust the Lord, trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Thirdly, live your life knowing that you will die. Know that you are dust, that you will return to the earth. Yes, you have a spirit that will go to God if you're in Christ. But there is a season in your life you'll have to face. You will die. Your life will be over on earth. And that means that what you have done in your life will be examined by God. What you have done with Jesus will be accounted for. When God asks you, what have you done with your time? I wonder how you'll respond. Think about this past week. How did you spend your time? And where was Jesus in all your times? Your life right now is in God's time and season under heaven. Do you realize this? Do you trust Jesus with it? Make the most of every moment God gives you. Don't waste it on stupid stuff and meaningless things. Make the most of your time with your family and friends. You know, sometimes we can be so absorbed with work and other things that we steal us from the great joy that we have in God's blessings. Make the most of your time enjoying God's goodness and blessings and what he brings your way. Make the most of your time knowing Jesus, following Jesus, growing in Jesus, enjoying Jesus. Make the most of your time telling others about Jesus so they can have their restless hearts find hope in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have our life in your hands. Lord, if it was up to us, we'd be a mess. And Lord, a lot of times we can't understand when brokenness really does hit us, when sickness, disease affect us, when things don't go right. Lord, we know through these things that you are at work and yet we struggle. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us in those moments to make wise the time that we have to do what's right or to see the good blessings that you have given us. Maybe it's in the food and wine, but ultimately, Lord, it's in what we have eternally in you, the inheritance we have. Not because we are worthy of it, but because of your goodness and grace, because the season of grace and mercy is ours now. Lord, help us not to waste our time, but Lord, help us to see that it is for your glory we live. Lord, give us ears to hear today, we pray. We pray this through you, Lord Jesus. Amen.